Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Today I talk to members of the Transit Action Alliance of Guelph, or TAG, for our inaugural collaboration that we're calling the Transit Pass. In 2018, a small but dedicated group of transit users pushed transit to the fore, and the city's politicians actually responded. But that attention wasn't enough, so TAG was born last summer, an effort to provide the city an organized place from which to advocate for more transit, and Guelph Politico is now teaming up with them to make that message even louder. The year in transit and the year ahead is the topic of this edition of the Guelph Politicast. Now, it's been quite a year for public transit in Guelph. There was the start of the transit service review, which many at City Hall are hoping will show them the way in terms of making public transit better. There was the changes to the schedule for a couple of bus routes that prompted a blowback from people that use route number 3. There was Papergate, the controversy over the city pulling paper schedules from the bus stops and then having to put them back. And a town hall on transit was actually held by the mayor, and it was attended by over 100 people as transit users started to organize into this new advocacy group called TAG, Transit Action Alliance of Guelph. There is now this idea that if people in Guelph want to make progress on getting more and better transit, then they need to speak up for it in a direct and organized way, which is where TAG comes in. A couple of months ago, I reached out to TAG about taking that to another level by dedicating a semi-regular episode of this podcast to just talk about what's going on with transit in Guelph. What are the new issues? What are the new concerns? This episode of the Politicast is the first product of that collaboration. So on this edition of the Guelph Politicast, I talk about transit with four members of TAG, Chair Steve Petrick, Treasurer Barbara Sim, Membership Coordinator John Marchese, and Steering Committee Member Mara Bender. We discuss the group's development over the last 6 months, and then we dig into the issues with transit looking back at the last 12 months and on into the new year. Are the powers that be finally listening? Is there now a greater awareness that our transit system has issues? Or was it just a mirage created by the shine of an election year? What's going to happen next, now that that election year is over? Will the service review tell us anything we don't already know? What's going to happen with the operating budget next month? Is there a way to push council for more money or expanded service? And how will TAG use their newfound influence to make sure that transit developments break the way they want? So I caught up with members of TAG before the holiday break in studio to try and answer all of those questions.
I'm Stephen Petrick, and I'm the chair of TAG.
I'm John Marchese, and I take care of membership.
My name is Barbara Sim, and I'm the treasurer of TAG.
My name is Mara Bender, and I sit on the steering committee.
Well, it's lovely to have all of you here for this experiment in and trying to, you know, I think we're all here for the same reasons. We want to make transit a priority. We want to make sure it stays front of mind, and we're going into a new year. We're coming to an end of an old year. Let's start off with sort of a highlight, I don't know, of the year in transit in terms of, you know, from whether that's from your experience as working with this new group or whether that's your own personal experience taking transit. What kind of year has it been on the bus? Who wants to start?
Okay, well...
Barbara wants to start.
I don't do a lot of public transit because it's not convenient. I cannot... Mm-hmm. get to where I need to go in a fast enough time if it's going to take me 45 minutes to get somewhere and it's going to take me 5 minutes in a cab. I'm going to take the cab.
Right.
But I work in Kitchener, and so I was taking a Greyhound bus in every morning, and then Greyhound cut my bus.
Right.
And so I would have lost my job if I hadn't found a carpooler.
Oh, wow.
So that's, and then I went to the city hall for a public transit thing, because I'd always been a public transit rider. I don't own a car. And I went, oh, there's a lot of people that are having the same type of problems I have with public transit.
Accessibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just convenient times, routes that make sense. If I can get somewhere in a car in 5 minutes, why do I have to go all the way downtown and then all the way back north and walk over a kilometer to get to the place that I'm working?
I think that's maybe a fundamental misunderstanding, and hopefully one that gets worked on soon. But before we get into solutions, let's talk about where everybody else is.
I sort of had an interesting year. I was, in the past year, I've moved from Montreal to Toronto to Kitchener to Guelph. So I've seen quite a lot in terms of transit in the past year.
Who are you running from?
Everyone.
All right.
So it's been like quite... Coming to Guelph was quite a shock, coming from Montreal and Toronto. I'm lucky I live pretty centrally, so it's reasonably easy for me to get to the central terminal. But honestly, I've been kind of shocked at the lack of reliability. I work up near Willow West, and the fact that you never know when, I've started keeping track of when or how late the bus is, because I usually take the same bus, and it's anywhere from 33 minutes to not coming at all to 2 minutes early, and you just don't know, and it's really hard to rely on any sort of system where you just have so much unpredictability, right? Like, it's hard to build your day around that, especially in the winter, like, where I take the bus from, there's a lot of parents who don't own cars, so they're sitting there with their child in a stroller, and... in the wind and the snow and all whatever elements are hailing from the sky that day, and it just
even heat humidity.
Yeah, it's ridiculous because you're sitting there waiting and you don't know.
And that's prime transit area because we're talking about a lot of people of limited means, a lot of new Canadians. So anyway,
For me, it's I don't know. For me, basically. Every year has been different. I've been riding Guelph Transit for 10 years, and it started out as 40-minute service back then. Mm-hmm. But then, great, within less than a month of my being here, it went to 20, and I thought, fantastic. And then not long after, it went to 15. And then not long after that, it went back to 20 again with completely different routes. But it seems to me like every year there's a crisis of the year, okay, whether it's labor unrest or new routes, whatever, construction madness. So this year I was very optimistic about this year, actually, because I work downtown. I live in the South End. Unfortunately, I have to take two buses to get to work every day, and it's not too bad because I work across the street from the Central Station, but I still have to go to here at the university first and switch buses and, you know, have connection issues, and so it's kind of too bad that way. But in the summer, for instance, the last several years prior to this year, they went with just 30-minute service all day instead of 20.
Right.
And there were all kinds of problems with that, with people making connection. So this year was, you know, at the beginning of the year, they told us that we're going to have 20-minute service even in the summer. So it was fantastic, you know. Mm-hmm. And then guess what? They had this, I don't know if any of you have noticed this, but this reliability issue where all of a sudden, buses didn't show up with no explanation at all. And it turns out that everybody knows that they had this serious driver shortage.
Right.
It seems to have been a big surprise to Guelph Transit. So.
It was like an open secret. And, you know, Steve, you know this kind of firsthand, being part of TAC. And I'm glad we kind of saved you for last, because for me, being an observer and a user of Guelph Transit for years, these are not new complaints. These are the complaints that when we talk about transit at any occasion, that's sort of keep coming up. So I'm wondering, you sort of being the man driving this car, so to speak, just driving this bus, you know, from your point of view, how has the year been?
It's been an interesting year, roller coaster year, I would say. I live close to the 99, so I have that freedom, that the frequency is freedom.
Right.
So I'm able to jump on the bus anytime without really looking at the schedule and going to Walmart and then coming back home or, you know, going to work. But I've also been stranded where the bus stops, even tonight before coming to this, where the bus driver disappeared. And I had to get the next bus. So much for that 10-minute service. So it was kind of like, you know, it's that's the frustration it's been, has been this kind of unreliability has been the number one issue this year, especially. Mm-hmm. I know Transit is going to be working on fixing it. They keep saying that.
Right.
The problem is a lot bigger than I thought it was.
Right.
With the driver shortage kind of being the center point. The average age of a driver in Guelph is a lot higher than other transit systems.
Yeah.
The recruitment process is very, a very long time. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks to train a driver. So obviously, and there's just this constant trying to fill those holes that they're struggling with. They've acknowledged that they messed up in the summer without putting the right amount of drivers in because of how this they wanted to keep the schedule without changing it, obviously, because of the past couple of years.
Right.
And it kind of backfired.
Right.
And they figured that out, that, you know what, we made a mistake. We're going to fix it in future, and hopefully after the service review, we'll see some stability.
We'll get there. Yeah. the thing that thinking back on the year, it was an election year. And we actually had an unusual step, and you mentioned this, that we had a gathering at City Hall, a full house, and the politicians called for this gathering, like, let's have this rake out, let's have a town hall. And given where, that was back in what, April?
March.
March?
March, yeah.
Okay, that almost makes it worse. But I think that, at least maybe to me, maybe because I'm bitter and cynical and... That's how you get when you're a reporter some days. But it was an election year. And I'm wondering, do you think, transit users were hurt in this election?
I don't think so.
We have a candidate in the room. I just remembered.
Yes, we had a candidate. I actually considered running for mayor.
Oh, yeah.
And had all my signatures. And then my doctor said, no, don't do it. But... No, I don't think there are some politicians that did listen, and mm-hmm. we did have our first community meeting,
mm-hmm.
and we had it was during the election, and we had a lot of politicians show up. But That's it was true. The same people that we've already convinced,
right?
The same counselors who are already supportive of public transit were the ones that came,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's to show the benefit to the other counselors who. They have a lot on their plates. We have to do some education to explain to them what the benefits of public transportation mean in economic development, mean in meeting greenhouse gas emission cuts,
mm-hmm.
What it means in having more ridership and so more revenue.
Right.
I've seen people at town halls where I saw Steve talking about something at a city council meeting. And he's saying, well, we're, our revenue is in the highest medium, really quite up. We're higher, but our service is way below.
Right.
What's the first question that a counselor asks? How can we get more revenue? Not how can we get more service.
Or service, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That was a lot of what I observed from the election as well, especially not being from Guelph and sort of seeing the way municipal politics happen for the first time, is that it was never how can we serve transit ridership better? How can we make sure more people are getting where they need to go in a reasonable amount of time? What do we do to make this a more beneficial experience for everyone? It was very focused on the revenues and how much money we're spending and how we can economize more. And I think in the end, that really doesn't serve anyone, because
mm-hmm.
there's no point investing in something that isn't working.
Right.
But at the same time, we need the service. So ultimately, the only thing you can really do is invest properly in the service so that it benefits the people that you're hopefully trying to benefit.
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like it's a catch-22, right? That we keep talking about more service, and the argument is, well, the ridership isn't there, and the counter argument is, well, you get ridership there when you add more service, and we kind of keep going in this circle.
Build it and they will come.
Build it and they will come. I mean, maybe, but I mean, it does seem like we're trying to talk to each other in two different languages sometimes.
Yeah, for some reason, they don't see public transportation as a necessity for a growing city.
Yeah.
They really don't. They have their silos, so they're not planning when they put in a new subdivision to put transit into it. So that was consequently the people that buy in that subdivision have to have two cars.
Right. Well, I mean, that sort of was on display this year with the whole driveway width thing. And I think I talked to one of the counselors, I think it was James Gordon. He can confirm or deny.
Yeah.
But all these developments were made on the promise that, you know, there would be more transit, there would be more service. And that's why you only need one space instead of two. And some point along the way, the service didn't come.
It's why they actually, there are parts of the city of Guelph that do not have sidewalks, but they have transit routes.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to have to be responsible for plowing the sidewalk.
Right.
That it's a small town mentality sometimes still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're right. It's there's something. I don't know. Somebody else talk. I'm overwhelmed with thoughts here.
The Clare Maltby area obviously has been going through this process.
Yeah.
And as it should be a transit oriented development.
Yeah.
But it's a development oriented transit. Put transit after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even a real thing, really. I mean, the professionals say, you know, it should be transit oriented. There is plans to put a hub there in 2024, past somewhere around there. I just saw the capital budget this evening before coming here, and that's great. But you should have the routes kind of built into this. I think they dropped the ball a little bit on that one, and they're kind of rushing through that whole process. Obviously, it's a bigger, bigger. What's the word I'm looking for?
It's a bigger deal.
Deal than
But I mean, that's an interesting point, and one that even people who are concerned about the environmental implications don't bring up, that it's very much about where the roads are going to be, not necessarily what the roads are going to
be used for.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. That it should be
complete streets.
Yeah.
For cyclists, walking, transit. You know, everything.
Right, everybody. It's like those Ford commercials you see where it's like the perfect street where it's like there's two lanes, one for traffic each way, and then there's bike lanes, and there's sidewalks, and it's like, what freaking world is this? Let's all go live there. But I want to get to the service review because, we've talked about accessibility, frequency, schedules, routes. None of that stuff is going to be addressed.
No, and their service review, there's 4 points, and I remember the first three. Steve will probably. it's, should there be public transportation, is their first question.
Mm-hmm.
Then, should it be public or private?
Mm-hmm.
And then, Steve, you passing it on to you.
I think it was...
And then Steve's got the last 2 points.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of them was looking at...
processes?
Well, the process was separate, but looking at possibly merging it with another system or doing nothing.
Right.
That is keeping it status quo,
right.
Owning it. That was one part. Obviously, they were looking at the processes. How do you do routes? How do you do schedules? And that's where there's a bit of a worry because when we see the results, we're not sure if the consultant they used will give us the complete picture.
Right.
We know what it was like with the transit growth strategy with the 15-minute service, and there was no transit priority signals, and the routes were looping everywhere, and they were slow, and there was too many stops. These are fundamental things that are taught in school. And Jared Walker, whose Human Transit book is what our group is really, basing a lot of our research out of, points out is that you gotta look at the 7 steps.
Right.
Looking at the schedule, getting to the bus, walking to the bus, biking to the bus, getting on the bus, paying for it, transferring, making that simple, and then getting to your destination. There's a whole system, and the worry I think a lot of us have is that they're only looking at just the route's time,
right.
40 minutes or 30 minute schedules, and they're not looking at kind of the whole picture. But we don't know, obviously. We're taking a guess here.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I stopped using Guelph Transit when I still have not. I've only made one connection since they moved Central Station from out of the square.
Right.
I've only been able to connect to the bus I wanted to transfer to once.
Okay. I'm curious, which bus?
I was coming from... I was taking the Loop bus downtown.
Right.
And I would see I wanted to go to Stone Road Mall or I wanted to go out to Willow West Mall. Didn't matter which one I was trying to connect to. I could never connect to the bus. Because I would see, as my bus was pulling in, I'd see the bus I wanted to transfer to. But by the time I got off my bus and tried to walk over to the other bus, it had left.
Right. And this is sort of where it comes to for me is that, you know, again, that service review, I think, has been marketed as, like, this is
going to be solving every last issue.
Right.
But...
And looking for wasted money.
And wasted money.
I would argue that the search for if money is wasted is not a fool's errand. But I think in the particular case of transit, we know where the money is going. And that's into a lot of overtime for drivers because there aren't enough drivers. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong on that. That's one of the critical things they're having issues with is the driver shortage and overtime. And that's what Burlington ran into. You know, they did an audit there, and they were over $2 million, $1 or $2 million in overtime. And now they've hired Jared Walker to clean up their system.
oddly enough, which is what
the former general manager of our system brought in there. And then I think he was trying to do it here, but then I don't know if there was a brick wall at City Hall or there's some difference of opinion, but then he kind of disappeared to Halifax. So
right. It
kind of was a very interesting time again, you know, where...
I'm glad you reminded me of this because, I mean, I feel like it was like 10 pounds of shit in a 5-pound bag, just the news this year. But that I think we've forgotten that there was a general manager... And he was here for 8 months, then he was gone in January, quite suddenly, and he hasn't been replaced. And it's been almost a year.
Not officially.
Well, that's
not
because of the, allegedly because of the service review. Basically, that's handcuffed the whole system.
Yeah.
Where they use that as an excuse. Possibly a legitimate one to not make any changes. So they hired an interim general manager. Who's a very capable person. But basically, he could be a lame duck because he doesn't know if he's going to get the permanent job or not. Nobody knows
Well, this is it, right? It's hard to plan for the future if you don't know if you have a future.
Yeah.
But I think this is maybe we're circling one of the main issues is that when we're talking about the city management, we're talking about a bunch of people who have their hands cuff behind their backs, and everyone's sort of trying to check each other's pockets for the key, and while their hands are cuffed, and that's remarkably ineffective. And meanwhile, the key is, you know, in another room, in a drawer somewhere. The metaphor lost me, but I think the service review. I have a hard time, and you know, maybe you guys have a different opinion. I have a hard time believing that it's going to come back that private transit is better. Which I think a lot of people sort of feel, you know, maybe unfairly, that that's the sort of thing that Mayor Guthrie is kind of pawing towards, is that the justification for privatization. But I'm not sure the case is there.
I think he said it in the past.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
He likes privatization. He likes to at least consider it anyway.
Well, yeah.
His words.
Okay. I think that's a fair... Yeah.
I think it's also important to remember that based on... the data that they get, if you manipulate things, you can basically make it say whatever you want. And I'm not accusing anyone of anything. I'm just saying that there's a lot of ways to make a convincing argument. You can make several different convincing arguments with one data set.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to keep that in mind when we're looking at what we're seeing, especially if we're not seeing the raw data behind the service review.
Statistics can prove anything. 62% of people know that.
Yeah. They even upped the number of comparable transit systems from 5 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very curious, you know, they went from, you know, the 5, I think, were Barry, Windsor,
St. Catharines,
Kingston, and Burlington. And then they added in London.
Windsor was an add-on, wasn't it?
Windsor was one of the original 5.
Sudbury?
Sudbury was one. So they it's going to be interesting. Why did they have to add another 5?
Right.
When the other 5 were, you know, we were told we were in the middle of the pack, which is good, I guess, to a degree. But it's curious that why did we add another 5 and what exactly were they comparing out of that?
You're very eager to jump in.
I'm like thinking and I'm getting too excited. What I was going to say is that I think anybody who's looking at the service report, knowing that especially, should be sort of going out of their way to do a comparison with the original 5 as well to sort of see how things potentially were manipulated, but also how we lie in a more representative group, both in terms of like a larger context and the smaller original context.
Right. Yeah. I think the concern, or one of the concerns, I guess, is that this is going to come back, the service review, and perhaps some people on council think they can, you know, sort of wash their hands, like we've done the due diligence, and whatever the report says, you know, we enact those things, or we budget for them, or we start the planning process, that's it, it's a done deal, transit is solved.
Yeah, and we have 4 years before we have to look at it again.
Yes, before the next election.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Because I feel like, you know, stupid, cynical me. it was an election year this year. The last time we kind of had like a really big citywide discussion about transit was during the lockout, which was, oddly enough, an election year. And, I mean, you know, maybe this comes down to you guys and the group you've started that, you know, how do you keep this top of mind? Not just top of mind, but, you know, this goes back to something you said that it's a matter of, or maybe it was you, that we're trying to talk to people who don't use transit and don't have the, I guess, the inherent experience that we all have taking the bus and trying to navigate the system. So, you know, in terms of the direction of TAG, what are we going to be doing in the new year?
Well, we're going to be responding.
Everyone just looked at Steve.
We just generalized so far. We know we all have a lot of complaints, okay? But
right.
But the whole first year has been about organization for us,
right?
Okay, not about figuring out a plan. Now we actually are the real thing. We're a known entity. People know about us. We have some members. Hopefully, we'll grow that. And
we've grown beyond our original steering committee already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now we're at the point where we have to, figure out what are we going to do? And we're still just in a general state, though. We have these great catchphrases, actually, they are really good.
Yeah. Yeah. We're collecting information and research. We're talking to transit users and non-transit users as well, and what they think. We're getting their stories. We're collecting their stories. We're preparing for the transit review. So my area that I'm going to be researching is, has privatization worked or not in other systems?
Mm-hmm.
So that we can respond to what is in the transit review.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're working on that now. We're working on
the budget as well, too.
We're also looking at the budget.
Mm-hmm.
We will be making presentations to City Council on their budget.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at stats of how much is spent on roads and if only a little bit is shifted over to public transportation. You don't need to spend as much on roads.
Right.
Right. It's already happened at the provincial level. They decided to cancel the highway from from Brampton down to Milton.
Right.
Because they went, well, maybe we should be getting better public transportation in.
Mm.
Leave those roads for the trucks and the people who absolutely must drive.
Right.
For whatever reason. But you get better regional transportation and you take 48 cars off the road.
Yeah. And I don't think more roads has ever created less traffic.
No, it only creates more.
Yeah. In terms of the stories you're collecting and in terms of the work you're doing, do you think that, I mean, I understand we're at the beginning of this process, right? And perhaps like somebody should have created a tag a long time ago. I'm not blaming anyone in this room, myself included. But I feel like we're way behind the curve. And I was like, I'm sort of dealing with that again earlier this week when I was at the announcement that we were getting 25% more GO trains.
Which we already knew.
One more train earlier than anybody wants to take a GO train.
We got 25% more trains. Yeah, that's the point.
So two more trains does not make two-way all day GO, and it doesn't provide any more mobility for anybody in the
how
region.
Could you call that
nobody said two-day all day. We got 25% more trains.
Yeah, right.
Well, and they're also trying to bury that bypass, right? That freight bypass that would like significantly cut down the amount of travel time between Toronto to Kitchener,
right,
which would have been a huge deal for speeding up express trains, but also getting more trains on the railway so that we don't have to constantly compete between GO and freight. But that's a whole
other
can of worms.
Yeah. My point was I constantly feel like we're behind the curve. It's been
a long 10 years since the transit growth strategy, and we've just been on this roller coaster. And obviously, I've been there at the front of the line, but we do need a advocacy group.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why I just felt like it's great we have a transit advisory committee, but I don't think it's ever been able to get traction at City Hall. Constant management changes didn't help either. And with the bureaucracy and the rules they have to follow, they're kind of limited in the way they can really advocate. And no offense to it. I mean, it's a good tool to have.
Right.
But we need a group like ours that is going to put out the facts and is going to go do the research and go a little deeper and really, you know, speak up and amplify things that we agree with transit on and things we may not necessarily agree with transit on, like transit priority measures. Transit wants to do them, but, you know, they're just one little voice.
Right.
And it involves traffic services and planning. So our group can definitely go out there and help amplify that and get people's attention to say, you got to be contacting these people, not just transit. Your bus is late, but you got to put your complaints to the right people, not just transit, you know?
Yeah, because you're hitting 21 traffic lights between Walmart and downtown.
And, yeah.
Go ahead.
But what's really frustrating for me personally is that, we pretty much know that nothing much is going to happen to improve transit in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They've said that.
Bummer,
they've told
but okay.
Us, yeah. That you know, because of the service review, okay. So because of the election, whatever. So really, it's frustrating as to what we could do now. But you know, to me, this is the year that I would see that we are going to get our game plan together and really target 2020. Obviously, we could go for little, you know, small battles. I don't know how we would do that yet, but
right.
But just having a group with hopefully a large and significant and very noticeable number of members, you know, we'll be heard more.
And we're not approaching individuals to join us as members. Mm-hmm. The business community has you know, in the industrial parks, they can't get staff out because there's no public transportation. Or in, like, if you're coming off the night shift and you're on Route 20, the bus is full, you can't get on.
Yeah.
And then there's the employers that won't even hire people that depend on public transit.
That's, I think, an underreported story for sure. Yeah. That, you know, especially if you're night and you start at 11 p.m. on Sunday, that, you know, you're automatic. You're either, it's a $20 cab ride or Uber ride, or, you know, you don't get that job. It's tough. I guess, you know, looking ahead, you've already put a pin in all our ambitions, but I understand where you're coming from, though. That, you know, this is a ship that, you know, you can't turn on a dime. It's, you know, it takes a while to come about 180 degrees. But in terms of like maybe a goal, like in terms of looking ahead to when we gather again this time in 2019, what do you think can be accomplished, and how do we accomplish it?
Well, I think out of the transit service review is one of the top things we need is a vision for transit. transit staff have said, well, we're putting buses where people are.
Mm-hmm.
But they did that cannibalizing other routes
right.
to do that. And they admitted it to it. You know, we have it on videotape. so we know that they know they created an issue. So we need that vision. Are we a more frequent system? Are we a more coverage system? That should be question one out of the service review.
Right.
I know they're going to do the transportation master plan
mm-hmm.
over the next 3 years, which is a bit long.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, they're going to do a transit growth strategy or something like that kind of at the same time as well. So we kind of know where they're at a little bit. So for us as a group, we're just going to, you know, hit them with the facts and the ideas and the things that, you know, many cases we're on the same page and some things, you know, we're not on the same page. So
right.
So it's a lot of the time it's providing support for transit management
mm-hmm.
where we agree and pointing out where we don't agree and why. And as users or non-users, why it doesn't work.
Right.
So, you know, it's an education process, and it's also getting out there, oh, yes, you can have an effect by having a voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was listening to an interview today by Christoph Spieler, I think. He wrote Buses, Trains, and People, an opinionated atlas of transit in the United States. And one of the things that he was talking about was how influential a transit advocacy group can be in times when you're creating a transportation master plan, a growth strategy, all of those things,
because we
do have a collective voice. And it's a lot more powerful and a lot more meaningful to those who are running public consultations and doing a lot of the planning work when you have an amalgamated group instead of just a couple different individuals who are complaining about something.
Mm,
I think mm-hmm. that's really where I see us sort of in the long term.
Yeah. And we're a group that is young people, middle-aged people, older people, different races, different professions, so we run the whole gamut.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting a broad perspective
mm-hmm.
from, which is something that an individual counselor isn't going to hear.
Right.
And by the way, I think that there's still the perception that users of transit are not, let's just say, the most productive members of society.
Right.
And that's another stigma that we have to get past. You have to look at an investment in transit an investment.
Right.
It'll be payback. I mean, there's a lot of evidence what is it, $3 for every one spent on
every
transit goes
was,
back into the economy?
Yeah. There's $3 of economic growth for every dollar spent on public transportation. Yeah.
But that's not just a perception about transit. That's a perception about people, that young people, like students, are a drag on the system, and that old people are dragging the system. A lot of, you know,
or disabled or unemployed.
I mean, you know, people are going to volunteer. You know, young people are going to their jobs. Even older people are going to jobs. People are working longer. It's a whole. I mean,
the unemployed can work.
And
be productive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All these things are truths. You know.
Yeah.
And one of the things that one of the stats I was surprised at, on average, to run a car in Guelph is $13,000.
A month?
A year.
A year. That makes more
sense. Okay, $13,000 a year to average.
Yeah.
A bus pass for a year is $960.
So cheaper.
But it means that those families that have teenagers who are helicopter parents driving their kids around,
mm-hmm.
if there was better public transportation, what other things could they do with that money for their kids?
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah, I recently read something about that, is a lot of kids don't know where these streets are because they've been driven around for years. So, if we look at Kingston, which has got their high school passes for free. They sold that to city council as a revenue neutral. You know why? Because the province gives 50 cents per rider in gas tax money. So they were able to make it revenue neutral because of that argument. It got more riders, more money. You know, that's a win-win-win right there. And then they will hopefully stay and use transit for the rest of their life, or at least, you know, when they go to university and college. And
make it a habit for them.
Yeah, make it a habit for them.
Yeah. Because I think for, I don't know how much it's changed, but I know when I was in high school, you turn 16, you get your learner's permit, and mm-hmm. it starts a lifelong dependency on being a driver.
Yeah, but I grew up in Montreal.
Yeah.
So I used to take buses everywhere. I would take the bus to the metro and the metro downtown, and I had the whole city open to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were reliable.
Right.
So when I was taking my bus from LaSalle, I'd have to change in Verdun and then go downtown from there. I could get there. I could stay at after school activities at my high school in Lachine and get home to LaSalle.
Right. Well, and I would say that's Montreal, and we're not Montreal.
No, not yet.
we're just like that. As long as your destination is downtown Toronto,
right? Yeah.
It's the concepts of the frequent, affordable, and accessible for us is frequency matters.
Right,
frequency brings you freedom. The 99 proves that ridership was up 45%. Revenue was up about 15%, I believe. You know, that proves that it works and that we need more of it. We have too many routes. You know, Jer Walker's, you know, concept here is, you know, less routes, more frequency.
Right.
It's straighter lines, easier to get to where you need to go, transfer between routes, don't have to go downtown. So if you wanted to transfer at the West End Rec Center, you could do it there or in the South End or, you know, at the university and bypass downtown and bypass a lot of things. Right. Not necessarily good for some businesses downtown, maybe, if you were to stop over, but It gets you where you need to go quicker.
But downtown already had that hit when they moved it out of the square.
Out of the square, yeah.
So they've already had that hit on their
own. And they've adjusted pretty well, considering, you know.
I mean, St. George's Square isn't barren, which I think was the fear almost 10... Was it 10 years ago? Not even.
Eight years ago.
We're getting
2011
there.
2011 is getting there,
yeah. I think that's maybe the basis for all the discussion is how you sell that kind of like change, because I think whenever time they fiddle with the schedule and they take a street and bypass that, if it's like a little side street that maybe picks up two people, there is such a klaxon about that.
But they've done really silly things, like when
I'm not saying they like, it was all not silly.
Yeah, they you know, and even when they had to backtrack it and put in Route 3, the numbers that whoever was saying the numbers for the city, I was looking at the number. I'm going, how come none of the councillors are even questioning that amount? Because I'm a controller, I'm a finance person, and I'm going, okay, how can it be $325,000 and it's going to be almost half of it for the first four months, she broke it into three, and then it was like a minuscule part left at the end.
Right.
For the, you know, and I'm going, okay, yeah, I can understand the first 4 months, you've got to put new route schedules and you've got to change a few things, but it bore no relation to actually adding two drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the numbers did not make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you see city staff saying things, and if you have any financial ability and you're sitting in the audience and you're going, well, how come none of the councillors are even questioning those numbers?
Right.
Because they're just, you know, I thought she was really misinformed. Someone had given her numbers and she hadn't even questioned them.
You could be right. I think there's a lot of there's a lot of doubt when I think we hear city staff talking about transit, because I think we have the feeling that they don't know, because they don't necessarily experience transit firsthand.
Most of them don't.
No.
Most of them don't live in the city.
And that's, I mean, that's another big point there.
And they get free parking.
Yeah.
It would be different if they didn't get free parking.
You could be right. That if they, you know, it might make the difference. But we'll have to leave that there. I inadvertently opened another whole direction I could take us down another hour-long rabbit hole. But, I mean, we're going to do this again, hopefully in a couple of months, and we'll see after the service review what comes back. And but I thank you, everyone, for your time, because I know you are all busy people and considering the time of year, but I think we're all keeping our fingers crossed we can make some headway in 2019. Yeah. Thank you, Tag.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
And once again, that was members of the Transit Action Alliance of Guelph, and you can learn more about them, how to join, or how to help them out at their website, taaguelph.com. The report from the Transit Service Review is due back sometime in mid-January, and it will be discussed in a special meeting of City Council on January the 29th. We will have another edition of Transit Pass sometime in the next couple of months, so stay tuned for that. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics' Ed Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. For all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.